Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. We begin on the front page with expanding space to support survivors. Stepping Stones has a free confidential hotline by Caitlin Klepik. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and as advocates in McLean County continue working to provide crisis intervention and increase awareness, the YWCA is also expanding its space dedicated to helping survivors. We've seen an increase over time of folks that need counseling, advocacy, and then also the hotline calls, prevention, education, said Liz German, president and CEO of YWCA in McLean County. According to the 2024 Community Needs Assessment Report from the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault, people in McLean County experience sexual violence at a rate almost twice the state average. Illinois showed a declining rate of reported sexual violence from 2018 to 2020, but McLean County's rate increased slightly. According to coalition data, McLean County's rate of sexual violence offenses per 100,000 grew from 71.5 in 2018 to 72.8 in 2020, compared to Illinois' reported 46 and 40.4, respectively. In 2024, YWCA Stepping Stones, a local McLean County sexual assault program that provides 24/7 assistances for survivors and families, served 245 residents through crisis intervention, and another 264 recurring clients used other continued services through the program. April is also Child Abuse Awareness Month, and according to an analysis by the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault and YWCA McLean County, in 2024, rates of youth violence were higher in McLean County than the statewide rate across all forms of violence. To help combat the high rates of sexual violence, Stepping Stones offers a free confidential hotline at 309-556-7000, which connects callers with trained and caring sexual assault advocates, according to the YWCA. The advocates can provide counseling over the phone, help the survivor report an incident to police, and go with a survivor to the hospital and provide support. In addition to the hotline, Stepping Stones offers free prevention education, counseling, professional training, and medical and legal advocacy, said Jen Galladay, director of Stepping Stones. Anybody who has experienced sexual violence at any point in their life can access it and use it, and or if they're the significant other of someone who has experienced sexual violence, said Galladay. Stepping Stones also helps survivors to file police reports and will follow those cases if charges are filed to support victims at court hearings and throughout the trial, she said. The YWCA started the Stepping Stones program in 2002 with only two staff members. Since then, the staff has grown to 17, German said. In 2023, the YWCA announced the launch of the Stepping Stones to a Safer Community campaign, which sought to renovate the building to address the growing need for counseling and advocacy services. Renovations began in the spring of 2024, and construction is expected to be completed this year, hopefully in May. Plans for renovations began in 2019, but were delayed because of the COVID-19 pandemic, German said. YWCA leaders were able to bring the project back into focus about 2.5 years ago. We are going to go from 4 counseling rooms that are spread out in the building and secure a hub for all of the Stepping Stones services to be all together in a confidential space. We'll double the amount of counseling spaces, so we'll go from 4 to 8. In addition to the new counseling rooms, German said Stepping Stones will shift and repurpose unused parts of the building to create flex spaces for support groups or family counseling. The space was previously locker rooms, which have been unused since 2011, German said. With this additional space, the Stepping Stones program is gaining about 2,000 square feet of usable space without adding onto the building. German said she anticipates the program will be able to help about 20% more clients with the new ability to grow as funding and grants allow over time. Alicia Whitworth, Director of Development and Public Relations, said one way Stepping Stones has been able to take preventative measures is through educational opportunities, thanks to Aaron's Law, which mandates sexual abuse prevention education for K through 12 schools in 38 states, including Illinois. The law is named after Aaron Marin, a childhood sexual assault survivor and activist. Nationally, people between the ages of 12 and 34 are at the highest risk years for rape and sexual assault. Of sexual abuse cases reported to law enforcement, 93% of juvenile victims knew their perpetrator, according to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization. How do we work toward preventing these situations? We do the reactive work. We do the prevention work and prevention education at age-appropriate capacities, helping these kids to have autonomy over their bodies, Whitworth said. Whitworth said prevention education allows for children to learn from an unbiased third party to use their voice. That comes over what we've been taught previously, which was respect your elders, to be seen and not heard, said Whitworth. Stepping Stones host a variety of events each April in recognition of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Whitworth said these are a mixture of outreach to the community and educational opportunities for local organizations that seek training from the YWCA. The Clothesline Project is among the most visible ways that advocates help to put survivor stories on display. It can be seen at campuses and other spaces across the country with t-shirts hung up to represent violent survivors and victims. Locally, Whitworth said the Illinois State University will host the project this year. The Clothesline Project challenges, quote, the idea of what were you wearing, close quote, Whitworth said. Survivors have written messages on shirts to really fight back against the narrative that survivors have any role in this situation that is not their fault. Local businesses and organizations have also partnered with the YWCA to participate in the Teal Chair Project, setting up teal chairs in their establishments to show support for survivors. Teal is the official color for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and each teal chair displays information about YWCA, Stepping Stones, and other support services. We'll wrap up Sexual Assault Awareness Month on April 26th with a walk at Miller Park, Whitworth said. The Final Steps Awareness Walk gathers survivors and supporters for a peaceful and accessible walk to raise awareness and show support will be from 10 a.m. to noon on April 26th. Here is a list of local events. All month, Teal Chair Project. Various local businesses participate in the Teal Chair Project, which raises awareness about incidents of sexual violence, sexual harassment, stalking, and other forms of interpersonal violence and their impact on the community. All month, there's a support display at Bob Z Bay at 419 North Main Street in Bloomington. It will feature a thoughtfully curated collection of literature addressing sexual assault. In collaboration with Stepping Stones, this display offers vital resources to support survivors and foster community awareness. On April 9th, Day of No Silence, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Illinois State University in Schroeder Plaza, a student-led demonstration that, quote, transforms a traditional vow of silence into a powerful call to speak out, close quote, against sexual violence, harassment, and discrimination against LGBTQ+ people. On April 16th, Consent Day, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Illinois State University in Schroeder Plaza, Stepping Stones shares information and engages in conversations about affirmative consent and setting and honoring personal boundaries. On April 23rd, Clothesline Project, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Illinois State University Quad. The Clothesline Project is a visual display representing violence against individuals with t-shirts made by and for violence survivors and victims. April 26th, Final Steps Awareness Walk. 10 a.m. to noon at Miller Park, community members participate in a walk around Miller Park Lake in support of Survivors and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. The event will also feature tables offering information about stepping stones, an art display, kids' games, and therapeutic art activity. And April 30th, Wear Denim Day, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Illinois State University in Schroeder Plaza. Denim Day is a campaign to raise awareness about sexual violence in education that began as a protest against a 1988 Italian Supreme Court decision overruling a rape conviction because the victim wore tight jeans. The purpose of Denim Day is to start conversations about attitudes surrounding sexual assault, including blaming the victim. In another local news story, we have Clinton High School students bring new life to old furniture by Valerie Wells. Sophie Thrasher has already found a way to use her newfound skills in furniture repair away from the classroom. She refurbished an American Girl doll bed for her sister because when the family bought the bed, it was hot pink and her sister hated the color. She's part of a Clinton High School class on interior design that includes a project to take old and worn out pieces and make them new again. The students also learn to market their pieces for sale. "We had an ag teacher at this school bring us old furniture that she found at an auction," said Sophie, a freshman at Clinton High School. "So we could get the feeling of, even though it's not a huge portion of interior design, if a client said, 'Hey, I really like this piece, but I don't like it in my house. The colors don't fit. I don't have the experience to do it myself.' We have that experience from doing this project." The students learn to strip, sand, and either stain or paint the pieces to make them new again. Sophie's piece was made out of plywood, so the wood grain wasn't suited to staining, and she painted it instead. "This project helped us gain experience, so if we need it in the future, even if we don't go into interior design, we can still learn ourselves. If we find a piece of furniture we love, we can learn to change it to what we do like," she said. She also joins Skills USA, an organization that provides hands-on experiences for students to help them with job and life skills, and that includes a woodworking competition. "You learn what looks good, what looks bad, what colors fit in a house," she said. "I made a table for my woodworking project. I'm always doing projects at home." Teacher Gail Bowman wants the students to learn that they can take something that somebody else has thrown away and transform it. "I want them to have the concept that you can take something that's junk and make it nice, whether it's furniture or it's something you deal with in life," Bowman said. "I want them to have skills that are transferable. A lot of interior design is textbook and theoretical, and that's good too. They need that part. But I think they have to have some hands-on experience so they feel connected to the materials. They have to actually be doing something to know what they want to learn. Just reading the textbook isn't enough." She brought in Nicole Finch, who is the school's in-school suspension supervisor and a substitute teacher whose hobby is interior design, to help show the students how to stage their marketing photos for the best results. Rather than just take a photo of a refurbished coffee table, the students put down a rug, placed items on the table, and took photos of it as it would look in someone's home, which makes the piece more appealing. "Whenever we first started on the coffee table, it was in pretty bad shape," said Elijah Lichtenwalter, a freshman. "It was covered in dust. It had cobwebs all over it." He and his partner, Lance Braum, discussed the design for a couple of days before beginning work and decided a stencil in the center would make it pop, and chose the colors tan and gray because those are modern and popular now. I'd love to do this for a career in the future, Elijah said. I've always been into fashion and designing and stuff like that. Drew Zimmerman writes, Turning Points Kirk to visit ISU. Conservative political activist Charlie Kirk is slated to make an appearance at Illinois State University on Tuesday as part of his American Comeback Tour. This free event will begin at noon at Milner Plaza. Attendees can register for tickets online at AmericanComebackTour.com. Kirk is the founder and CEO of Turning Point USA, a conservative youth organization with a presence on high school and college campuses across the country, including at ISU. Tuesday's event is part of the American Comeback Tour announced earlier this year by the organization, which said Kirk would visit campuses to debate conventional narratives promoted by leftist academia. The tour is said to provide students of all viewpoints the opportunity to discuss important subjects with Kirk and special guests. Kirk is also slated to visit the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus on Tuesday before stops at Purdue and Michigan State Universities. Ann Zimmerman also writes, Leonid and friends to play BCPA in the fall. Leonid and Friends, a Moscow-based tribute act of the band Chicago, will be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in September. The band's leader, Leonid Vorobyev, said he and the rest of the band had to rely on recordings and videos to perfect Chicago's complex arrangements since the American group never toured in Russia, according to the BCPA. In 2014, they gathered a handful of musicians to record a rendition of his favorite Chicago song, Brand New Love Affair. But because no charts or scores of the song existed, he had to transcribe the song by ear. The end result was a viral video that compelled the artist to record videos of Chicago's other big hits. In total, Leonid and Friends videos have amassed 50 million views, and the band has recorded two albums showcasing Chicago hits. The BCPA show will be from 7 to 9 p.m. on September 18th. Tickets start at $25 and are available via Ticketmaster. The pre-sale begins at 10 a.m. on Thursday, and then tickets go on sale Friday. For more information, call the BCPA ticket office at 309-434-2777. In college news, we have U.S. quietly stripping students' visas. Some students targeted over pro-Palestinian activism. This is by Colin Binkley, Annie Ma, and Micaiah Seminira with the Associated Press. A crackdown on foreign students is alarming college leaders, who say the Trump administration is using new tactics and vague justifications to push some students out of the country. College officials worry the new approach will keep foreigners from wanting to study in the U.S. Students, stripped of their entry visas, are receiving orders from the Department of Homeland Security to leave the country immediately, a break from past practice. Some students were targeted over pro-Palestinian activism or criminal infractions or even traffic violations. Others were left wondering how they ran afoul of the government. At Minnesota State University in Mankato, President Edward Inch told the campus Wednesday that visas were revoked for five international students for unclear reasons. He said school officials learned about the revocations when they ran a status check in a database of international students after the detention of a Turkish student at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. The State Department said the detention was related to a drunken driving conviction. These are troubling times, and this situation is unlike any we have navigated before, Inch wrote in a letter to campus. President Donald Trump campaigned on a promise to deport foreign students involved in pro-Palestinian protests, and federal agents started by detaining Columbia graduate student Mahmoud Khalil, a green card holder and Palestinian activist who was prominent in protests at Columbia last year. Secretary of State Marco Rubio recently said students are being targeted for involvement in protests along with others tied to, quote, potential criminal activity, close quote. In the past 2 weeks, the government apparently widened its crackdown. Officials from colleges around the country discovered international students' entry visas were revoked, and in many cases, their legal residency status terminated without notice, including students at Arizona State, Cornell, North Carolina State, the University of Oregon, the University of Texas, and the University of Colorado. Some of the students are working to leave the country on their own, but students at Tufts and the University of Alabama were detained by immigration authorities in the Tufts case even before the university knew the students' legal status had changed. School officials say the federal government is quietly deleting foreigners' student records instead of going through colleges as was done in the past. Students are being ordered to leave the country with a suddenness universities have rarely seen, said Miriam Feldblum, president and CEO of the President's Alliance on Higher Education and Immigration. In the past, when international students had entry visas revoked, they generally were allowed to keep legal residency status. They could stay in the country to study, but would need to renew their visa if they left the U.S. and wanted to return. Now, increasing numbers of students are having their legal status terminated, exposing them to the risk of being arrested. None of this is regular practice, Feldblum said. At North Carolina State University, two students from Saudi Arabia left the U.S. after learning their legal status was terminated, the university said. NC State said it will work with the students to complete their semester outside the country. Philip Vasto, who lived with one of the students, said his roommate in graduate school for engineering management was apolitical and did not attend protests against the war in Gaza. When the government told his roommate his student status was terminated, it did not give a reason, Vasto said. Since returning to Saudi Arabia, Vasto said his former roommate's top concern is getting into another university. He's made his peace with it, he said. He doesn't want to allow it to steal his peace any further. At the University of Texas at Austin, staff checking a federal database discovered two people on student visas had their permission to be in the U.S. terminated, a person familiar with the situation said. The person declined to be identified for fear of retaliation. Some students had visas revoked by the State Department under an obscure law barring non-citizens whose presence could have, quote, serious adverse foreign policy consequences, close quote. Trump invoked the law in a January order demanding action against campus anti-Semitism. But some students targeted in recent weeks had no clear link to political activism. Some were ordered to leave over misdemeanor crimes or traffic infractions, Feldblum said. In some cases, students were targeted for infractions previously reported to the government. Some of the alleged infractions would not have drawn scrutiny in the past and likely will be a test of students' First Amendment rights as cases work their way through court, said Michelle Mittelstadt, Director of Public Affairs at the Migration Policy Institute. The Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities is requesting a meeting with the State Department over the issue. It's unclear whether more visas are being revoked than usual, but officials fear a chilling effect on international exchange. Many of the association's members recently saw at least one student's visa revoked, said Bernie Barola, a vice president at the group. With little information from the government, colleges have been interviewing students or searching social media for a connection to political activism. The universities can't seem to find anything that seems to be related to Gaza or social media posts or protests, Barola said. Some of these are sponsored students by foreign governments, where they specifically are very hesitant to get involved in protests. There is no clear thread indicating which students are targeted, but some were from the Middle East and China, he said. Next is an article entitled, Retirees Keep Their Eyes on Economy, by Heather Hollingsworth and Jamie Stengel with the Associated Press. When retired school counselor Don Herneson meets up with friends each week for breakfast at a hole-in-the-wall restaurant, the conversation often turns to the economy. With financial markets in turmoil as Republican President Donald Trump unveiled his latest tariffs last week, the popularity of that topic is unlikely to change anytime soon. There's political uncertainty, there's economic uncertainty, and if you're retired, you don't much like uncertainty at this point, Hernison said as he and his wife made a stop at Union Station in Kansas City, Missouri on Friday while visiting relatives. Stock markets worldwide careened last week after China matched Trump's big raise in tariffs in an escalating trade war. The sweeping new tariffs on top of previous levies and retaliation worldwide are also expected to increase prices for everyday items. Hennison, 77, who lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and his wife Kathy, a 74-year-old retired Verizon worker, are living on a mix of pension, Social Security, and an individual retirement account, or IRA. He said for now they aren't cutting back, but his wife clarified that even holding steady means cutting back. Prices are higher, but I am still spending the same amount of money, she said. I'm sticking with the grocery budget, and that means I'm cutting back on prepared food, so I'm buying the products themselves, so it is hurting people who run a small business that sell their pre-made food. They live in a Republican-leaning area of the swing state, but neither voted for Trump, who said Americans may feel some pain because of tariffs, but the long-term goals, including getting more manufacturing jobs back to the U.S., are worth it. Chad Smith, a portfolio manager at Tobias Financial Advisors in Plantation, Florida, just outside of Fort Lauderdale, said they've been fielding increasing calls from clients for days. Fear is really picking up, especially since we have the retaliatory tariff from China, he said. Smith said most clients just had general questions, checking up on what they should be doing with their portfolios. We're taking it on a call-by-call basis, he said. Retirees generally have a little bit less risk in their portfolios, and bonds have been performing well in the volatility. The overall theme is that we're really getting is that you really have to be aware of your risk tolerance and your financial plan, and you need to do that going into this, so that way you can ride through this volatility that we're seeing right now. Colleen Power, a 57-year-old payroll specialist from Kansas City, Missouri, is hopeful the market will recover before she retires. We have our things situated in a way that we will probably survive, she said. Now, in general, yes, I'm definitely worried for the country. But I mean, on a personal level, I don't have a whole lot of stress about that at the moment. Power, a Democrat, nonetheless finds the situation frustrating. Uncertainty is frightening, not knowing is scary, and people are asking the same question all the time. Am I going to be okay? Said Paul Braun, advisor at the Wealth Enhancement Group in Pittsburgh. He said that for a recent retiree who hasn't started taking Social Security and is living off the cash flow from assets, watching that value decline in just a few days is frightening. But he said if they prepared well, there should be reserves in place. We should have cash in reserve that we can use while we allow that portfolio to heal. Bram, president of the Financial Planning Association, said, it's good to just put it into perspective. That helps with the fear. I think it's important that we take a breath, that we pause through uncertainty before we make adjustments to our portfolio. We have to let the dust settle. And with that, we conclude the reading of part one of the Pantograph for Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with part two.